You're listening to the Ghost Hunter Advice Podcast. I'm your host, Tanner Rutledge, and that's right, you are getting more than one episode in a month. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about protection, why it's a good idea to do it, and how to do it. Now, if you're an experienced ghost hunter or you're a new ghost hunter doing this as a hobby, it is incredibly important to protect yourself. I don't normally get metaphysical with these episodes, but it's something that I feel would be irresponsible not to talk about. So stay tuned, enjoy the show. And guys, go to the review section, leave us a 5-star review. It is the quickest way to help us grow this podcast. This would have been about 2005. The team and I didn't have any active investigations going on and didn't have anything where we were actually doing residential stuff. But we had decided to check out this old building that had a reputation for weird specters and apparitions moving across the windows and strange voices and footsteps and just your basic everyday Scooby-Doo style haunting stuff. So we go in and we set up, and it's a pretty quick ghost hunt. We take some photos and we set up and we do an EVP session, and we're interested in, at that time we were going super heavy into EVP, and we were going into a lot of tests and experiments with spirit communication. So we set up and we just started talking and trying to see if we can get anything. And we got a few good EVPs. Honestly, they probably could have been explained away with other things. I had been doing this for about 5 years, but with EVPs, I was still pretty green. We called it a night, and I went home. And that night, at around sometime between 3 or 4 in the morning, I woke up and I heard this little girl's voice, "Help me." Just a whisper, but a loud whisper, "Help me." And the next thing I knew, my girlfriend at the time was screaming because she saw a little girl standing in the bedroom door. I didn't see it. She saw it. I definitely heard a little girl's voice say, "Help me." And then my girlfriend at the time saw a girl standing in the doorway. She was freaked out and a little upset. But over the next week or two, we kept having just weird stuff happen around the house. Eventually, it just went away. Apartment at the time. But we just had some weird stuff happen where things would move or things would disappear, or we would hear footsteps or like a little child's voice. But it was a pretty freaky 2 weeks. And that was about the time that I decided that maybe protection was a good idea. So stay tuned after the break, and we are going to get into why it's a good idea to do some kind of protection while you're out doing your ghost hunts. Welcome back to Ghost Hunter Advice. We're trying something different with the show format. We want to do a story first that's either like an encounter that I've had, something that we've gotten from a listener, or an actual case that we're working, and then pick points of the story to provide advice or details or a deep dive something that was very important in that particular experience or case. Now, the one that I just talked about happened to me back in 2005-ish, somewhere around there. I have always tried to take like the romantic aspects and the spiritual aspects away from investigating and looking into hauntings and just concentrate on what we're actually seeing, which to me were like energy manifestations and different weird stuff. And this particular instance was the first time that something had actually followed me, or possibly followed me. Waking up in the middle of the night to that voice going, "Help me," was unsettling. And then when my girlfriend at the time saw something, and that wasn't the only time that she saw the actual girl. She saw her over the course of the next 2 weeks a couple times with the weird stuff happening around the apartment. But it was something that made me rethink the way that I was looking at this. Like we had, I had seen apparitions up until that point. I still was not super convinced that any of it was the dead coming back. But that particular, occurrence, it showed me that, okay, so this does happen where, something could fall. There had been things before where it was possible that something had happened, but I kind of chalked that up to being in my head. That particular one was experienced by multiple people, so probably wasn't. So getting into today's show, I want to start off by just kind of talking about why protection is important. That particular occurrence was it was unsettling, but it wasn't anything dangerous. It was a little annoying, and coming home and like having that stuff, it was weird. And it was surreal, but it could have been a lot worse if it were something else. The big danger of going out and doing this type of work, I call it work, but going out and doing this type of thing, there are some dangers. And I realized from some emails and things that I've gotten from listeners that we do have a lot of people going out and doing this as a hobby. And with kind of a how-to podcast and advice on how to ghost hunt, I thought it was incredibly irresponsible not to post something about properly protecting yourself spiritually and mentally. Now, I don't usually get metaphysical. I try to steer clear of this, but this is one of those things that has to be talked about. And this is one of those episodes that'll give you a little bit of insight into what I believe it is. So the dangers obviously is something following your home. Now it might not be a ghost or a spirit of a person if that's what they are. When we're talking about this, please keep in mind that we have no idea what's actually going on. We know through some EVPs and, through things that we've seen from apparitions, not just myself, but people that are out and doing this, seriously. Yeah, some things do look like the ghosts or the spirits of the departed. Some things do appear to be that way. I don't know for sure that that's what it is. No one does. But it does appear that way. And there are also cases of other things, things that were obviously not human or aren't anymore. And those are the things that I'm a lot more worried about, like following me home, especially now that I have a kid. But, so getting into this, the different types of hauntings, you have the residual. We spent an entire podcast talking about that. There's no spirit. It's just kind of a thing that plays over like a GIF or like a tape that keeps rewinding. It's a place memory. Intelligent hauntings, that's where this could possibly happen, an entity or a spirit in a house that is interacting with people for some reason attaches to you and follows you. Maybe they won't help. Maybe they like messing with you. Who knows? Nobody knows anything in this field. But that does happen from time to time. Now, it is very rare. I do want to say that something following you is incredibly rare. But moving on, you have poltergeist activity. That's more of a human agent with latent PK ability. And that's something that really more of a parapsychologist or a psychologist would be called in to deal with. As ghost hunters, it's not something that we actually see a lot of. And then people have talked about like a fourth style of haunting, but I really just say it's like a subset of intelligent hauntings. This is where you have an entity that's stronger, that appears to not be human. And that's where people start talking about demons. And that's where people start talking about these negative inhuman spirits. I try to stay away from using the term demon or demonic. It kind of locks it down into more of a Christian mindset. And what we do, it, transcends theological jurisdictions. So I try to just stick with the terminology of inhuman or like a negative inhuman or something like that. I try to stay away from demonic, but there are a couple of things that have popped up that have different mental disorders, different ways of talking about things that do have the tag demonic on them. We'll get into that a little bit later. But there's always the possibility that something could follow you home. And in my case, shadows moving in the corners of your eyes, things moving around the house, going missing, hearing footsteps, usual normal haunting activity. It can take a toll on you. Weird dreams are also a thing, sleep paralysis. It does take a toll on you, but it's not horrible. Now, if one of these inhuman entities or something attaches itself to you and follows you home from a haunt, you've got some problems. That's where you start talking about oppression, being scratched, having just very violent, vivid nightmares. Your entire life just kind of turning negative with these entities. And when I say turning negative, I mean you start getting depressed. You'll notice you'll start losing friends. There's a lot of things that go on with that that may or may not be attributed to the actual paranormal activity, but it can just wreak havoc in your life. Moving from that, there's also a lot of mental stress that goes along with ghost hunting and with paranormal investigating. When we go out and we talk to people and we constantly surround ourselves in this line of work, there's more questions than answers. So it's very easy to get obsessed and just start deep diving everything and going out every single weekend to do a EVP session, or going out every single weekend to check out an old mill or an old haunted legend or something, or going out and just booking yourself solid with people that are contacting you because they have paranormal problems. And you end up running yourself into the ground. And there was a term that came out in the field, this would have been like 10 years ago, where people were talking about demonic paranoia. It's where you think something follows you home, but it doesn't actually. You end up having nightmares, not being able to sleep. A lot of the stuff and just the negative stories we hear and the things we're around, it can cause depression. And it can cause an entire triage of problems and different mental issues. There have been more than one people that I have hunted with and done investigations with, and that I have known in the field that have just had psychotic breaks and snapped and been institutionalized or heavily medicated. One guy that I used to hunt with quite often is currently pretty heavily medicated. And a lot of his problems, there were some other underlying issues, but a lot of his problems came from the stress that doing these investigations caused. And not just the like seeing weird stuff that you can't explain and that just getting in your brain and driving you nuts. But the emotion and just the negativity that we're around every day when we're talking to these people that have these problems, it does put a lot of stress on us. So we're going to talk about how to avoid having something follow you home and how to avoid having a mental breakdown while you're investigating. So we'll start off with spiritual protection when you're in the field. This is where it gets a little metaphysical. Your protection or what you do is going to be heavily influenced by your faith or lack of, I'm starting to lose my voice. If you are a Christian, and I've done this with Christian groups and with religious groups, praying and relying heavily on your faith is very strong, and it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or what faith you are. Relying heavily on your faith is a very strong way to protect yourself, because it does give like a blast of just positive energy. And a lot of these entities, ghosts and humans, whatever you want to call them, they feed on negative vibes, negative energy. They seem to be drawn to it and attached to it. So if you are overflowing with just positive energy, you're probably not going to attract one. So say if you are religious and you do believe, saying a prayer and relying on your faith is a very strong protection. Pagans and Wiccans, instead of prayers, there might be prayers, but there's also spells, visualizing yourself surrounded in lights. I've heard a couple of different psychics, different mediums, different, Wiccans and priests and pastors do different things to protect their team and their selves individually. And it seems to work for the most part. When I first started playing around with this, I did not protect myself. And that's how that thing was able to follow me home. Once I started looking into the different ways that people protect themselves, there were books, there were spells for Wiccans, spells for people that did things. I also hunted with some people that were more into voodoo, and they had their own. I was very, very similar. But what it boils down to with religious and quote-unquote magical protections, it's just positive thinking. Putting yourself into a good headspace and visualizing yourself surrounded by light and being protected by this this entity that you have so much faith in. And that is a very, very strong repellent for these things. And we'll talk about that later when we start talking about like cleansings and we start talking about helping people actually get rid of or how to get rid of or deal with hauntings. We'll get a little bit more into that. But I'm going to tell you what I do. I am not a man of faith. I don't, I'm not Christian. I'm not, I probably lean a little bit more pagan, but I do a mental exercise. And what I've learned to do is before I go into one of these situations or into one of these houses, before I attempt any sort of experiments with spirit communication, what I do is I close my eyes and I do a mental exercise. I visualize a door in my head. It is a closed door, and in my head, I open the door. I don't open it all the way, though. I open it just to where I want it to open. So I open the door a crack, or maybe a little bit wider than just a crack, so that I can see through it. And what I'm doing is mentally preparing myself to experience and be open to experiencing something, but not so open that I just, again, metaphorically, open my doors to everything. So I close my eyes, concentrate hard on that door, and I see myself opening the door as much as I want it opened. Now, sometimes, depending on what I'm doing, I'll also visualize myself putting a chain on the door as a further protection to keep anything from forcing it the rest of the way open. But since I've started doing that, I haven't had problems. It's just, I also try to stay positive, have a lot of positive influences in my life, like, you know, my friends working out, staying healthy, doing work that I enjoy doing. I typically just try to stay as positive in my life as possible. They're not attracted to that. And I visualize that door. It sounds super simple, and it is super simple. I meditate and I concentrate very, very hard on that door and keeping that door exactly where it is until I'm ready to close it. So moving on to your mental health, how to keep from losing your mind ghost hunting. And it's, it is incredibly sad when that happens. There was one guy that I thought we'd be hunting together for and make a career out of it, you know, write books together. And we had started doing it almost at the same time, and he cracked. He saw some stuff and then just went downhill, got into drugs, and just completely lost it. He is now heavily, heavily medicated, just to get through the day and somewhat function. So what I recommend for that is the same thing that I recommend for an incredibly stressful career, and that is take breaks. You can only look into the darkness and look into the unknown and not get answers for so long until it really, really starts to bug you. So what I recommend is just taking breaks. Maybe don't do this every weekend. Maybe you take a couple months or a year or two away from doing this, and just kind of let yourself reset. You know, take some time to build yourself back up mentally, emotionally, whatever you feel is like pulling you down. Just take some time away to fix that. And then just be positive, have positive influences in your life. Find a hobby outside of this that you just enjoy doing. Surround yourself with people you enjoy being around, that are good, positive influences in your life, and, just make the most out of every opportunity that you have. If you don't have a lot of negativity in your life, a lot of these things just aren't attracted to you. They like easy targets. If that's what's going on, I'm always going to say that if that's what's going on, because we, like I said earlier, and like I'll say in every podcast, we have no idea. But that's my thought on protecting yourself. If you guys have any questions, reach out. Email me at ghosthunteradvice@gmail.com. Leave your messages on the – if you go down to the show notes, click the link, leave your messages there. And if you have a story that you would like to share, I would love to start having some of you guys on the air. So either reach out to me in the email or, again, leave a voicemail. Leave your story. Thanks for tuning in to Ghost Hunter Advice. If you're enjoying the show, take the time to go to iTunes and leave us a review. It's the quickest way to help people find the show. Also, share us with your friends. If you're looking for more content, more tips, tricks, and stories from the field, join us on Facebook. Our Facebook group is Ghost Hunter Advice. Just pop that into the groups and you'll find us there. You can also go to our blog page, ghosthunteradvice.wordpress.com. If you would like to reach out with any questions or content you'd like to see on the show, or a story that you would like to share, email me at ghosthunteradvice@gmail.com. You can also leave a voice message. Just follow the link in the show notes. All right, I am getting out of here. I'll see you on the next episode. Keep it spooky and happy hunting.